Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, rock star lovers, those of you blessed with true sight, master builders, and firework enthusiasts. My name is Jared, and I'll be your host for the episode. I am honored and grateful you have joined us here at our table. Today, we will be looking at four games. Xylotar Unhinged by Bezier Games. Illusion by Pandasaurus Games. Patrician. Towers of Influence by Calliope Games. And we will wrap up the show with an oldie but a goodie, Hanabi by R&R Games. So sit back, get comfy, and let's discuss. That was really interesting. You guys, I am so happy to be here today. I usually have a co-host on the episode today. We're going to be talking about a lot of family games, and usually I have my kids with me to discuss those. But it's the holiday of July 4th here in America, and it's been a crazy time. It's very hot here in Nashville, and we did a lot of activities over the July 4th weekend. And my kids are tired, and I'm tired, and I just felt like it'd be easier for this one if I just did it myself. The kids love it, and I'm happy to have them on whenever they can. But when they get really tired, it becomes very difficult. And any of you parents out there will understand that. And so today, I want to talk to you about a few games. I'm also trying out just some stuff. If you're listening on the podcast like you normally do, I'm trying out some new things with the video. This will probably be a theme for a while. I know that, I don't know if I've mentioned this yet or not, for me personally, and I think for Ian too, we kind of feel like we're in the early days of YouTube all over again, just for ourselves, as we try and figure out a way to make this work well. And to make it ours to where we're not just being like everybody else. But at the same time, like, we have a lot of life stuff going on. We're just a really small little podcast that's trying to turn into video. I'd love to talk more about that. If you're interested in that, I'd love to dive into that conversation. But for today, we're going to get into some games. And this is a different format we're trying where I'm not as scripted. I'm going to talk to you about these games. And I'm going to give you my opinions, and but it's not quite as structured as I've had in the past. And I just want to see how that feels. I'm also, for those of you listening on the podcast, I'm hitting play on the audio for the music as it comes in. So that might not sound great. We'll see how it goes. But just trying some things out. I've talked in other episodes about how I really appreciate feedback. I mean that. And as we make this thing, I believe that you listeners are a part of that thing. And so however you want to contribute from a criticism or praise or just your thoughts, I'd love your thoughts as we continue down this road of exploration into new things. But enough about that. First up, we have an expansion that we are going to talk about. It is Xylotar Unhinged. And I want to say thank you to Bezier Games, who sent us a review copy of this game. I do want you listeners to know that I didn't have to pay for it. And if that bothers you, I'm sorry, but I will still give my honest opinion as I talk about this game. So Xylotar is designed by Christopher Ray. Artwork is done by Davey Komodo. And like I said, it is published by Bezier Games. I love what's going on in this expansion. It's two small expansions inside of this box, and we got to play both of them with the kids, and it was just so much fun. I really think the things that they've added to the game, it's not a lot. It's something where it does just enough to give you some new freshness and to kind of try new things without being overwhelming. And if you don't like them, they're very flexible. You can use one or the other or both. And I love some of the chaos that it adds. And I'll talk about that here in a little bit. So this game comes with, I believe it's 20. It might be more than that, but I'm going to show some of these on the screen for those of you watching online on YouTube. Everybody's listening online, Jared. Come on, man. So these cards, what they do, everybody gets two of them. And I'm just going to put a couple of them up on the camera so that you can read them and see. But basically what they do is they add powers for you to use during the game. Xylotar has 3 rounds. You get 2 of them. So there will be a round where you won't use one, and you can only use one per round. So you've got to be able to decide when you're going to use what and when it might be the most appropriate. They're all unique power-ups, and they're pretty cool. The ones that we used in our games definitely helped, and there were times where they either acted as a good insurance marker. So I know one that Faith really liked was she had the ability to go one above her bid and still get the bonus, and she really enjoyed having that insurance. If she was having a really good hand, she could kind of be a little bit more aggressive and screw some other people up as well. And then some of them are a little bit more complex in the way that they work, but as you know the game, they become really useful. Like there's one where you turn one of your numbers into a 0 and it becomes that card instead. And at first you're like, well, why would I want that? But as you start to think about it, there can actually be some real benefit to that. So that's part of it. So that's you've got power-ups, and those are called your bonus beats, if you will. And there's the next thing that you get, there's a fun little score pad with a little, it looks like a band almost little advertisement, and there's a QR code on it. I'm not going to tell you what happens when you scan that QR code because you have to find out for yourself, but it's got a fun little thing going on. All of our heroes return from the first game, and there's a fun little story to go with this one as well for our favorite polar bear rockin' or Xylotar rockin' polar bear. The next thing, and I think this is the one that's very interesting and adds chaos to the game. This one, though, so the game of Xylotar gives you cards from 0 to 10. And what they've decided to introduce in these offbeat cards are halves. So it might be 7.5 or 2.5 or whatever it may be. There's one of each 2 all the way up to 9 that you'll add into the main deck. And what happens is before you deal out the cards, so you'll shuffle in these 8 cards and then you will discard 8. And if you don't know what they are, obviously, they're blind. And those are the cards that are out for the round. And it adds a little bit of unknown of what cards are in the deck and what cards are not. Now, halves do beat. So like a 7.5 is going to be a 7 if it's within the right color and things like that. But there's a downside. It's minus 1 point for each half card that you have. So you don't really want to collect these, even though they have the ability to win hands. And it creates this chaotic tension of you want to take tricks, and so you will probably use them and not be too upset about it. But at the same time, like, you kind of have this feeling of, but it's a negative point too. But it ends up like balancing itself out. So really, if you're going for the higher count bids, then it really works in your favor. But if it's something where you get stuck with it towards the end of a hand where you're going for a low count or even a 0, then it's very frustrating. These things kind of are drawn to me. I got halves all the time, and my kids found it so funny that I was the one getting all the negatives. But so those are the 2 little expansions. The other thing that I really appreciate about this game that most small card games don't take into consideration when they add in their expansion is that they come in these, so the base game comes in these relatively small boxes, right? And then you get the expansion also in a small box, and then you try to put the 2 together in the base box and it doesn't really work. Well, what they've come up with is you take the insert out of the original box, you take the insert from the expansion and put it into the new box, and now all the cards fit. And everything fits into the base box, which for me, that's a huge deal because I don't want to have to keep up with 2 boxes for my expansions, especially if they're little card game boxes. Like, part of the draw is that it's a little card game box. I can just throw it in a bag and we can play it somewhere. So good on you, Bezier. I'm really happy with this expansion. I think both of them are fun. The kids had a lot of fun with them. They really like Xylotar, and they didn't feel too overwhelmed by either of these expansions. Did a great job with both. So I really give a high recommendation for Xylotar Unhinged. I'd probably give it an A, actually. I think the expansion does exactly what you want it to do, which is, again, adds just a little bit without adding too much. And then I also love the contributions that it gives to the game. So I'm going to give that one an A. All right, move on to the next one here. Next up is Illusion by Pandasaurus Games. Illusion is an older game, as you can see if you're watching the YouTube screen by a lot of the scuffs on my box. It's seen a lot of action. And this is a simple little game with a couple of decks of cards where you're trying to determine what color has more, which card has more of one color. So if you're looking at the screen, you might get this card as your first card, and we'll say that our color is red. And then the next card in the row will be this card. And for those of you that can't see it, basically there are four colors. There are blue, yellow, green, and red. And the idea is that you are supposed to determine if which card has more of the color that you're trying to figure out. So in this case, red. So if I have one card here and one card here, I have to decide if my new card goes farther down the line or if it goes behind it, saying it's less. The way you figure that out is at some point you're going to keep taking turns until somebody's like, I don't think this row is correct. And it doesn't matter whether the previous player got their particular play correct. It matters for the whole row. So if I have six or seven cards in a row, the odds that somebody screwed it up are decent because a lot of these cards are very close. And so what you'll do is, starting with the original card, you'll flip the card over. And on the back side, each card has a certain percentage of each color. And so as long as those percentages continually tie or increase, then you're going to be correct, or the row is still correct. If you challenge it and you are correct that they were not in the correct order, then you get the point. If you are incorrect, if I challenge and Faith was the one that played right before me and I was incorrect and the row is still accurate and correct as it should be, Faith would get the point. And then after a point is awarded, a new card flips over, designating the new color. You start a new row and then you go again. It's like 10 or 12 rounds. It doesn't take very long. It's a very quick game, but there are all kinds of fun shapes and different ways that colors come into play in this game. I do think it is, you know, relatively simple, and the girls really enjoy playing this game. It's very cheap. It's just a couple decks of cards, so it's easy to pick up, and it's one of those where I enjoy it. I like that the kids like it because it was running out of life for us as adults to play it. It's fun, but eventually, it does start to feel samey. I do have to say that, but I don't know. It's very interesting in trying to determine what each color percentage is on a particular card. And it's, you know, it's all these cards that trick the eye and try to make you think that there's more of something than there actually is. Or when you have them side by side, you're like, there's no way there's more red in that card. And in reality, it's like 10% higher or something like that. I know that families really like it. I pull it out a lot with gamers that need just like a quick break and they want a 10 to 15 minute game. But I play it more with people who are not as comfortable in gaming and they want to know more about what's going on, or we're just trying to kill some time. And they, you know, I'm like, okay, if I don't suggest something easy, they're just going to want to play cribbage again. Nothing against cribbage, but let's do something different. And then it's fun to see them and their faces light up. So I do think it is a good family weight game. And it's something to bring out either at the holidays or at a time when Anne and I talk in the two tops about having things to play on the airplane. This would definitely fit and would fit on that tray table. So if you need something just in your bag, ready to go, it doesn't take up a lot of table space. It's very easy to get out and get started. I'll give Illusion a solid B for our grading. Next up, Patrician, Towers of Influence by Calliope Games. Patrician was a review copy given to us. It was actually the first ever review copy that I ever received. And I've enjoyed playing this one. I've enjoyed showing my kids this one. And I've really had a good time with just the interaction of what this game is in its simplicity. So I definitely think this is a family weight game. And that's how my grading is going to come across. But the idea of Patrician, and I'm going to go ahead and pull out the board here so that I can show that, because, you know, it's very simple, but when I try to explain what you're doing, it feels like it's supposed to be more complicated than it actually is. And I just don't, that's just not actually the case. But the idea is that you are master builders in Italy, and you are building new towers. And so this game plays up to 5. It is double-sided because you have to have a certain size board for 5 players, and then 1 through 4 or 2 through 4 plays at the other side. So there's 2 sections on any given city where you're building these towers. And so basically there's 5 colors. You have your color towers, and you also have cards that you'll be using to play during the game to determine where you're playing said towers. Each city has a value on it of either 5, 7, or 9. And the idea is that once you have that many towers total, not just yours, but all of your opponents as well, then that city scores and cannot be played on anymore. There'll be score tokens that'll also be on the city. Typically with the 9 count cities, it's either 9 points for first place and 6 points for the second one. And then for the 7 build cities, it's 7 points and 4 points. And for the 5 build cities, it's 5 points and 2 points. And so the idea is that on your turn, you're going to be playing a card, and it's going to have either 1 or 2 crests. And those crests are going to have a color on them. And that color determines which city that you're going to play in. And so you can either play your tower on an empty space in the city, so 1 or 2, or you could place it on top of an opponent's or your own tower in that city. You're going to end up scoring both towers when the time comes to score the cities, and you're going to score them separately. The person who's on top doesn't matter. It's the person who has the majority of your little towers in the overall tower. So if I have the, if we score the taller tower of the red city, and I have 5 and blue has 2, then I'm going to have it. But if I have 3 and they have 3, and that's 6 of the 9, I think red's one of the 9s. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But if we have 3 and 3, then the person on top of the tower determines the tiebreaker, and they get the points for the higher tower score. Then you move to the lower tower, and then you do the same thing. So whoever has the most will get the point if it's a tied amount, then you would determine based on who has the higher piece. You have to build on both spots before the end of the city scoring. And obviously there's just enough cards that you play that many pieces. You also get end game bonuses. So on the bottom of some of these cards are faces. And there are different nobles in the city that you're trying to win over. And they they score points as well for each set of 3 that you have. But you're not getting to play any doubles when you play those. They're only on the single crests. So if you play a double, you're getting to put down more of your towers. But with the singles, you're potentially collecting sets. And then there's also other cards that have certain powers where you get to move other people's pieces, or you get to pick new cards from anywhere you want to instead of in the designated city. Because that's how you collect new cards, is after you play, you're going to collect a card that is in front of that city, and then that card gets replaced with another card. You keep playing. It's only about a 20 or 30 minute game. It's actually very straightforward. Whenever I describe it, people like freak out because we're like tower building. But for a tower building game, it's very simple to do, but also still engaging. And so I've enjoyed this one. I really like the tension of deciding, do I want to put out more towers faster, or do I want to focus on my sets? And there's pros and cons to both, because having my sets, I've got 6 points at a time for each set that I have, but I'm not having as much influence in the city building itself, so I'm not scoring as many city building points. So it's a good back and forth. It's really been good for my kids to help teach strategy, to show them the different choices, because there's lots of choices as far as where to go. And especially at first, like, the board is so blank. And the only thing that kind of guides your decision is the opening cards that you're dealt, because obviously you have to have the right color to be able to play. But you can go ahead and formulate that strategy even from the opening move and say, okay, this is what I think I want to work on, because there's so much information already exposed to you. So I really like that, in that this simplicity gives my kids an opportunity to learn how to walk that strategy 3 or 4 steps down the road. So for Patrician, I'm going to give it a minus for where it sits. I really enjoy it. And the only thing I think the theme is so cool. And this might be unfair because you wanted to say simplistic. I wish I felt more like I was building a city. I do feel like I'm building a tower, sort of, but I don't feel like I'm actually building full cities. And that, I think, is just a cause of the simplicity of it, but it makes it feel less like thematically I'm doing something, and more of it just feels like I'm moving the pieces around. I don't often feel like I'm building a tower even. I just feel like I'm placing my pieces. So if that makes sense. So like, I ding it a little bit because I don't know that the theme fully shines through, but I do feel like the gameplay, especially for a family weight game, is very good. All right. I've got one more that I'm going to show you. I've got a little bit of a mess in front of me from the Patrician game, but I want to show you an old game that I have been playing for, man, it's weird to say that 15 years is old, but it is in this hobby. With so many games that come out, it just gets faded into the background. But with that said, Hanabi. I love Hanabi. Hanabi is such a fun game. I've loved being able to give the elevator pitch of Hanabi since I first learned about this game. So the idea is that you are all firework makers, or you're firework showmen, I guess is how you should put it. And there's different cards in different colors, and they are numbered 1 through 5. There's 3 ones. And then there's 2 of 2s, 3s, and 4s, and 1 5 of each color in this deck, okay? The goal, cooperatively, is for you and your group to organize these fireworks that have been all messed up, and they've been mixed together, and they need to be straightened up into their own pile so that when they do the show, it's an awesome show. And the idea is you got to play your 1s and then your 2s and your 3s and your 4s and your 5s. And if you play out of order, then you're going to cause mistakes and 4 mistakes. And that's the end of the game, and you lose. The interesting part about this game is that when you play with your hand of cards, you're playing your hand, but you don't see your hand. You hold your hand the opposite way, and you are given hints by your teammates. Now, of course, there's only certain hints that can be given. Specifically, you can be told about a number in your hand or a color. And if you give information about that particular type, whether it be a color or a number, you have to give all of the information. So I can't, if I have 2 ones in my hand and you only want me to play 1 of them, you can't just say this one is a 1. You have to say this one's a 1 and this one's a 1. And so now I've got to decide, and you learn this communication of, okay, this is what he's saying. And you got to look at the board and trust your teammates and all that fun stuff that comes with a cooperative card game. I think it's so much fun. And It stresses some people out because they don't like having to remember all these things in their hand. But I've seen a lot of families really enjoy this one. It gives a fun twist on card games, especially not only are you having to hold your hand backwards, you're playing cooperatively. So there's that aspect. And then there's also the aspect of learning how to communicate. And I know that's a lot of fun for card players, whether it be bridge or spades or Kent or whatever it may be. There's this like learning to, we have this connection, you and I, we have it. And I think that's really fun. And it brings people together. And so it's really cool. This is an older game. You do have a, so the way it works on your turn, you have a certain number of hits. You have 8 to start with as a group. You can turn one over and spend the hint and just give some information if you want to. You just give one piece of information, and it's the next person's turn. The second thing you can do on your turn is play a card, like we talked about, and you want to make sure that you're playing in order. You don't have to make the exact pile. So like if I have like 4 ones down, I want to play a 2, I don't have to determine which 2 it's going on. I'm just saying I'm playing this card. And then as long as it fits somewhere in the pile, then you're good. Then the third action is you could discard cards. You can discard a card. And when you discard a card, then you get one of your hints back. But keep in mind, I've only got so many cards of each color. And so if I've already given up 2 of my ones, or if I've given up one of my 4s, I can't discard the other 4, or I can't go any higher on that stack. And you get scored based on how many of each stack that you are able to complete by the end of the game. So it's just a really fun game. This will never leave my collection. I love playing it. I love showing it to new people. I love that twist moment of, oh, and by the way, you don't get to see your hand. And that lights up people's faces. I have tried this one with Faith. So Faith is going to turn 9 in September, just as a reference. I know every kid's different based on whatever. For me, I do think this is a 10-plus game. As far as your age goes, just from my own experience, it was kind of hard for Faith to grasp multiple concepts of you can't see your hand, and you got to give hints, and you got to keep up with the memory, and we're trying to do what now? And so there was just a lot of different things going on. So this is one that I think is family weight, but I think it's more for adults than it is for children. I think it's an excellent memory game for adults, and it's one that is a lot of fun. It's also one that, like, if people aren't too overthinky about, it's probably a 30 to 40 minute game. So those are my games for today. I hope that you have had a wonderful time here. Let's just start the music back up right about. Gross. All right, well, we'll work on that. But yeah, so I hope that you've enjoyed my games for today. They are an absolute blast. Again, thank you to Calliope and Pezier Games for sending over those review copies. And thank you to R&R Games as well, because you made a great game, and I love that. And Pandasaurus, you did as well with Illusion. All great games. Didn't give a grade for Hanabi. Hanabi's an A for me. Like I said, it will never leave the collection, and I just really love it. All right. Well, I've said thank you like 6 times, but I'm going to say it again. Thank you. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on any of these games, I would love to hear from you. All my links are down in the description. Please check them out. We've got Discord. We've got Instagram. We've got whatever. You guys know how the internet works. You can also email us at thegamedealpodcast@gmail.com. Check out our website, thegamedealpodcast.com. And check me out on BGG if that's something that you're interested in doing. If you'd be interested, 5-star reviews, hitting the like and subscribe button down here. If you really want to. I mean, it's just a dude in a bedroom. He's trying to figure it out. You know, help me out. Following us on socials and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Next week, we are going to be talking about a lot, because it is our 2-year, 100-ish episode. And let me tell you guys, it has been an emotional grind for the last 2 years. And I don't know that I expected to be doing this right now after 2 years, but like I say, next week, we are just getting started, and it feels like we're opening up a whole new world here with the video side, and looking forward to all the things that are to come. But in the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever. Music ended too early. What a joke. See ya.